First, let me check, is the microphone on? Excellent. I had a little boo-boo last week that was not able to be fixed because I caused it on this here. So I apologize for last week's lack of audio. It's not often that I get told that someone can't hear me in my big mouth. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are so good. Thank you, God, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him to us in your great love for us, Lord. Father, I pray now as we read from the old story, passages that we've already read this morning and read last night and have read for many years, O Lord God, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen our faith in you, Lord Jesus, that you would fill our hearts with the peace and hope and joy and love of Jesus, O Lord God. And then help us to share that with those around us, both those who know you and those who do not, O Lord God. Help us this morning, O Lord God, to worship you, to know you, O Lord God, for you have been so good to us, and you are good. Lead us now, O great Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 1 through 20 this morning. This is the Gospel of Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, our Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is God's word. Throughout the whole scriptures, for thousands of years before this, probably at least 2,000 years of recording, God has been promising to send a Savior. Right at the time of the very first sin, when Adam and Eve broke the covenant with God, creating a separation between God and all of us, God had promised to send a Savior, and now he has come. Our Savior is born. This is the moment that all of creation has been waiting for. And God is faithful, and he fulfills his promise and sends not just a military Savior, not just a mighty ruler who will come and restore just Israel to its former glory, will not just protect Israel, though they are an occupied nation at this time. God sends his own Son to save us from our sins, to save us from judgment. In verses 1 through 7, we see the birth of Jesus. You know that there was a census that was called, and so everyone had to return back to their city of origin. And in these verses, it's stressing here the divinic lineage of Joseph in this case. In other gospels, we get to see that Mary is also a descendant of King David. And we know, right, from reading the scriptures, the Old Testament, how important that really is, right? That's part of the prophecy. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised David that he would always have a descendant on the throne of Israel. Forever, he says. And as we go throughout the Old Testament, we do see, remember the two tribes or the 12 tribes split into two nations. 10 go to the north called Israel, 2 go to the south called Judah. And it's Judah where Jerusalem is, where the capital is. And we see that up in the northern kingdom, there are 20 kings that come, and not one of them is it a father-to-son inheritance. Not one is it passed on from father to son, from the same seed. But in the south, in Judah, there are 20 kings, and they all are from the line of David. The son inherits all the time. And so you're going through the Old Testament, and it looks like, wow, this is so great. God promised that a descendant of David would always be on the throne, and look, it's going just great. But they didn't realize, or they weren't listening to God and all the prophets he sent, that they were rebelling against God, that their hearts were not with him. They took him for granted, and they sought other gods. And so we come to the end of the Old Testament, and there's no descendant of David on the throne. And it looks like God's promise is a failure. But that's not what God meant in 2 Samuel 7. He was pointing forward to a descendant, the seed of Adam and Eve, who would reign on the throne, not just of Israel, but of all creation forever and ever. And that is Jesus. And Jesus is born, the Son of God. That's part of the discussion, why they have him go to the city of David to connect him with David, why it calls out Joseph's lineage with David. But it's interesting because when we think of a king being born, right, thus you would think of all this fanfare that happens, right? I mean, it's a king. The world just experienced the funeral for Queen Elizabeth II, right? And what a fanfare there was, right? So elaborate. just 10 days, I think it was, 10 days of different ceremonies and things that were going on. And you could see it worldwide because a queen who had reigned for so long, not even the type of monarch that we associate with a ruler of a country, right? It's a very different type of government structure they have there. But the queen had died, and so there was a big deal made. But Jesus, it's the exact opposite. The King of Kings, the Lord of all creation, who is God himself, is born in a lowly animal stable and placed in an animal feeding trough. Not attended by princes and princesses and the rich and powerful, but attended by animals as he is born there. And even the description, right? I mean, if you were writing a gospel, if you were, you know, one of the four authors of the gospels here, I wonder, maybe I'll speak for myself, I'd probably put a lot of details into the birth, the actual birth. But there's not. Mary was with child. Time came for her to give birth. Born son. That's it. Pretty simple. I would suspect that those of you who have given birth know that it's not quite that simple, right? Even us men who are kind of clueless in many of these things, we know it's not that simple, right? But it's described in a very, very simple way. He's born in a very lowly manner. I know we talk about this a lot, but that's part of what Phil Vischer calls the upside-down kingdom. Right, Phil Vischer, the VeggieTale guy. The upside-down kingdom, right? That with Jesus and the kingdom of God, the things that we associate with earthly kingdoms are turned upside down. So the first will be last. The last will be first. If you want to be great, you must serve. And so the King of Kings is born very lowly, very small, surrounded by animals. But God does want more people to attend this royal birth. And so he sends the royal messengers, the angels. First a single angel. But again, if we were writing the story, we'd expect him to appear to the king, to the high priest. But no, in verses 8 through 14, the angels, first one and then the host of angels, appear to the shepherds in the field watching their flocks at night. There were shepherds in the field. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of God shone around them. Right? We think of the glory of God as just so beautiful, and it is, and it's so big. But that word glory also has this connotation of weightiness. God's presence, his glory, and it's not God himself, it's his angels, just his messengers. The presence is so powerful, so heavy, that says the angels are terrified at the presence of this angel, of this one angel. And we see this throughout the scriptures, right, don't we? Maybe as humans we say, oh, I'd love to meet an angel. Right? Well, in the scriptures, when people meet angels, they don't want to meet the angels. They're terrified when they meet the angels. They almost all fall flat on the floor on their knees, right? And so we have this refrain that comes almost every time an angel shows up. What's their first words they speak? Fear not. Fear not. And the angel tells the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. I just love that phrase. And this news is not just for the rich and powerful. This news is not just for one country. This news is not just for one race or for one gender or for one age group or for certain people. No, this good news of great joy is for all the people. And here is the great news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And who is this Savior? Christ the Lord. I love that the angel comes to the shepherds. Shepherds were not highly thought of in society. They were pretty low on the social economic rung of the ladder of hierarchies that exist in all societies. They were the lowly. And God sent the angel to the shepherds. It's just beautiful. And it should be an encouragement for us too, to really think that way, right? God is constantly going to those who in society are looked at as outcast or as lowly, right? One of the groups that we see God so often call out as having a special place in his heart, right, are the widows and the orphans, right? And the refugees. If this is who God goes to, those who would not be considered the upper class mucky mucks, you know, then we too should think about those who are lowly and go, bless, help. Well, then one angel, it's just not enough to proclaim how awesome is this news that Jesus is born. And so a whole host of angels, which has a connotation really of army of angels, just a multitude of angels, and they come and they start singing. I mean, can we just picture that scene? What would that be like? You're out in the fields in the nighttime, and it's a tough job. It's a dangerous job. And then God comes, sends an angel, and declares this amazing news. And then you see the sky just light up with the choir of angels declaring God's glory and declaring peace for all with whom God is pleased. Well, then we see in verses 15 and 16 that the shepherds now go to see Jesus. The angels disappear back into heaven, and the shepherds are just stunned, right? They say to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They're aware, too, of how special it is that God has made known the news of the birth of his son to them. And so they go quickly, it says, in haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Just as God had declared to them through the angel, it was true. I can imagine feeling skeptical of what you just experienced. And you immediately see the faithfulness of God's word. What he says, he does. He is true. It's one of the names Jesus takes for himself later in life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The shepherds get to go, and besides Joseph and Mary, it appears that they were the first people who got to worship Jesus. Just think of all of our stress and our hustle and bustle and all the busyness. I probably will feel this way every year, I'd imagine, if I could remember. But this Advent season really seemed to fly by. Maybe because there's no snow yet or anything, I don't know. Or it just really has been like, what? It feels like Christmas should be another few weeks away, at least in my mind somehow, you know? But here it is. The shepherds come, and this is what Christmas all is, right? We're all wrapping, and we're giving gifts and buying gifts and receiving gifts, and we're making food, and we're visiting family, and it's all so good. Always remembering, as Michael calls out, that there are so many for whom this day and this season is heartbreaking for them. But here's Christmas. The shepherds go and see Jesus, who's been born, lying in a manger. Well, the shepherds don't keep this to themselves. In the last part of this passage, the shepherds go to all the people in verses 17 through 20. When they saw all the miracle that God had proclaimed, it says they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Can you just imagine that those they told were confused by what the shepherds said, were probably in some disbelief over what the shepherds said, but they wondered and they pondered and caused their minds and their hearts to stir and to seek to understand what is God doing. Imagine waiting so long for the fulfillment of your hope and dreams. And now it is before you, and it's Jesus. It says Mary has a different approach. Instead of going out and telling everyone, she's just treasuring up all these things in her heart. She's just pondering everything. And just imagine how in awe Mary must have been. There's a humble, faithful contemplation that we see in Mary here. She's sort of peacefully on the sidelines watching God at work. She's not off hustling and bustling and trying to bring about the fulfillment of God's word. She's just this faithful servant who gets to partake and watch God as he fulfills his promises and as he saves his people whom he loves. And all this ends then with what it should end with. Here specifically calls out the shepherds who go glorifying and praising God. Praising God for who he is and for what he has done. That unto us a child is born. And this child, Jesus, is the Savior of the world. God invites us to put our hope and trust and faith in the person of Jesus for our salvation. And this Jesus, who was born in a lowly manger, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is Almighty God, our Savior. Today we celebrate that Jesus, our Savior, is born to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your great, great love. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that we can celebrate Jesus this morning in his birth. Turn our hearts constantly towards you, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes and ears that we may see and hear you, Lord Jesus. You are our King. Happy birthday, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.